get the politics out of the way.
Oh, good. I have actually a great story to start this off, and everybody can laugh in my misery of my 2020 bingo card. Huntley, would you care to take a guess as to what happened to my 2020 bingo card? It's nothing tragic. It's not horrible. Everybody can laugh really hard because I'm laughing at it. You want to take a wild, crazy guess?
Alien abduction.
Oh, man, that would be so much cooler.
That's where I always go with 2020 bingo cards.
Oh, I would be so much happier to talk about that. No, I tried to swerve out of the way of a skunk on my way home from work Saturday night, and it sprayed the car, and it was... He may as well have sprayed the inside of my car. So I can, I feel like I can add getting sprayed by a skunk to my 2020 bingo card.
It's not fun. I remember when I was a kid, my dad and I got sprayed by a skunk on our persons. Ugh. And it was miserable. And I still blame him to this day. Because he's like, we're going to get that fucking skunk because it's under the house, blah, blah, blah. And he took me outside and he was just like, you're going to help me catch it. And I was just like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea on so many levels. And it came out and he was like, get it. And then it just lifted its, and then boom, hit us. And I was just like, it was awful. It was fucking awful.
I went in it a little while ago this afternoon and it still smells like just as bad as it did when it happened. I'm like, this is so bad. It's okay. It kind of covers up the smell of the weed that I regularly have.
And mine was like, I couldn't go to school. It was so bad. They're just like,
oh my God.
They're like, no, you stay home until it fades.
For how long? How long did you come from school for?
It finally started to dissipate after like 3 days, but still like had a lingering smell. And everybody, you know, of course, was just like, you smell bad. I'm like, blame my dad. Blame my father.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah, yeah. He is like, for a person that thinks he has the best ideas, he really has some really fucking dumb ones.
Did he ever end up catching the skunk?
No, it got away. Because after we got sprayed, we were like, oh, God. And like trying to turn away, and then the skunk got away, and then it just ended up in his house a couple of days later underneath it again. And I was gone by then. And I was like, this is on you. You're dealing with it.
I had one spray under the house when I was a teenager, and it's
awful. It
got into all of my clothing.
Yeah. People don't realize, like, when you're driving around and you smell a skunk, that is just a 1 on the scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Getting sprayed by it completely, or getting just like your house sprayed by it. No.
So bad. It's so bad. It permeates everything.
Yeah. And they give you all these solutions, and none of them fucking work. I remember, do you remember that lava soap stuff? Like lava soap?
Yeah.
I scrubbed myself for days with lava soap, and it did nothing. I don't know how. Like, I don't understand the science of skunks and their spray, but my God. If lava spray can take oil stains off of your hands,
if I can't get rid of that,
and it can't get rid of a skunk, don't fuck around with skunks. Just let it go. Let it go.
I hear shaving cream helps. I don't know, but
I didn't
like
try
the old foam style shaving cream.
Yeah, I tried lava soap, alcohol wipes, scorching hot water, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of remedies that my dad, once again, that my dad suggested, and none of them worked. So, moral of the story, kids, don't listen to your parents.
Yeah, ever.
Don't listen to your parents.
Just stop now.
Yeah, just stop now. Just don't do it. So Andy is abandoning society.
Yeah.
How long are you going to be gone for?
Just 2 days.
Are you sure?
Cabin. Cabin in the woods.
Cabin in the woods.
Hopefully I don't get sacrificed to some slumbering elder god or something like in the movie, but, you know. We'll see.
They're going to go out there and become feral and never come home.
Probably
stuck with the cats.
With everything that's going on right now in the world, I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame you if you didn't come back.
Trust me, that thought crosses my mind about five times a day of just
disappearing into the
wherever. I know people would be upset with me, so responsibilities and all that.
Wandering the world like Kung Fu, except for in the middle of like a
pretty much. I would do that, I think. Yeah, that'd be fun. Just walk around the country like some wise sage, just dispensing random advice to people. And, you know, just that's all I do.
I could see that working like 20 years ago. These days, not so much. walking up to random people. People are a little more polarized and a little more paranoid. I can imagine you going up to some stranger in a small town, just be like, hey there, and they just pull a gun. Just like, I don't know what you're selling.
But. I'm pretty sure Keith Raniere ruined that for you guys.
Yeah.
No, it'll be fine. I got this. I already got the look. It's cool.
Got the look.
Yeah, you did.
Just give me some big glasses, like the Manson glasses, like Raniere had or whatever, you know, like.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
So weird. Okay.
He's such a creepy looking dude.
Yeah. Like, he's in prison for the rest of his goddamn life.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah. I don't get how he was able to draw so many people to him. Some people, like I read descriptions. I get how he's able to do it, but some of the descriptions I've read through media, they were like, he was handsome. I was like, dude looked like Sith Lord.
No, it's not that. It's
his personality that
there's a magnetism.
And his, like, yeah, his fucking vampiric, evil. Suck. Ugh, he just sucks you in, and then you're his.
And then you're his, and then you're branded. But you're
fucking branded.
On a positive note, so we interviewed a psychic earlier in the day, and that's how we're going to close out the show. But before that, we wanted to just, like, you know, talk about a few things. Caitlin, you have a Mothman update.
Did you look at that link that I sent to the documentary that I was telling you about? I sent a link in Discord to watch a little clip of the documentary. I watched the clip. I haven't seen the whole thing, and the clip makes it look very professional.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it look like something I really want to watch.
I might watch that after we're done recording. I have baskets and baskets of laundry to fold.
Oh, fun.
So I might jump on the Mothman documentary. I was thinking about actually doing the new Swamp Thing series that came out that I missed.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it came out. It only lasted one season and got canceled because of the money issues, but it was critically acclaimed, apparently.
Hmm.
What are you watching it on, Netflix or?
I think it might be on Hulu now. I'm going to find a streaming service that has it and watch that. But I might do Mothman now. But give us a gist of what's going on with the Mothman.
So the latest story that I heard were two ladies out of, they were again in Illinois, and where is it? Schiller Park, Illinois. And their description of the creature was a little shorter than the other descriptions we've heard. It was like 4 or 5 feet tall. The mother described it as a demon. I believe the ladies were Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And the mother said it had glowing red eyes, and she called it a demon. But there's been 10 sightings now, apparently, all in the Chicago area. So I really hope nothing bad happens to Chicago.
Chicago
listeners, if you're out there, stay safe.
Yeah, stay safe.
Let us know if you see any Mothman.
Yeah, I know that Chicago is one of the places that's dealing with a bad COVID surge right now.
Oh, man.
And I believe that they are closing down and they're locking down, actually. So hopefully.
Be very safe then.
Yeah, be extra safe, Chicago friends. You're one of my favorite cities. So stay safe. I would like to come back soon and enjoy Chicago. So stay safe.
Too many people.
Chicago is so magnificent. It's so much fun.
We were talking about that earlier today. Yeah. We need to take a road trip to Chicago.
We need to take Chicago. Yeah, we need to, yeah.
And we're going to do some fun things there.
There
are little things there that aren't legal here, and we need to go.
We need to go, Andy.
I'm good.
Fine. We'll take David.
That'll work.
Just me and the boys.
Yeah. You're
not going to come chaperone me. I'll get Jamie to come. I'll talk her into it.
Yeah.
He's like,
you know how I feel about cities. No, thank you.
You live in a city.
I know. I hate it.
No.
I despise it every day. And I've worked for 8 hard years to get out. And then all this shit happens.
And you also had a ghost story you wanted to tell us, Caitlin.
Okay. So this is a story that I heard on a podcast called Scared to Death, and if you want to go listen to it, the episode is called The Nightmare Man. But a husband and a wife went on a camping trip to Helena, Montana. It was a little cabin out in the middle of nowhere, and it was a husband and wife and the dog. And when they went into the cabin, without really saying anything or acknowledging anything to each other, they both just kind of set all their stuff up in the back room of the cabin and avoided one room that was kind of like the front main bedroom that had all the nice bed and the nice stuff in it, and just kind of made up their area in the back of the house, but didn't really like talk about it or, you know, acknowledge it at all. So they went to bed that night, and the wife in the middle of the night very distinctly heard her husband get up and take their dog to the front door by the kitchen and go outside. She assumed for both of them to use the bathroom, and then she heard them come back inside the house, go over to the kitchen counter where her water bottle was, take the lid off the water bottle, get a drink of water, put the lid back on, set the water bottle back down, and heard her and her husband and her dog come back to bed. And I mean, very, very distinctly heard all of those things and was 100% sure about it. So in the morning, she was talking to her husband over breakfast and just saying, you know, I didn't really sleep very well last night. You know, how did you sleep? I heard you get up in the middle of the night and take the dog out. And he kind of looked at her funny and said, I didn't get up. I thought I heard you take the dog out, and repeated her exact same story down to the water bottle back to him. So they both got kind of weirded out. They noticed that the lock, the deadbolt, and the handle, like the knob, were both broken on the kitchen door. So they took the dog out and went for a walk and came back to the cabin later that afternoon. And when they were making lunch, they found a little booklet in the kitchen. That kind of had some history about the cabin. And it was a World War II soldier training site for bomb sniffing dogs.
Huh.
So the idea is that, you know, maybe there was a spirit occupying the room that nobody really wanted to go into, because the dog wouldn't go into the room either. And that maybe either a spirit was taking a spirit dog out, or maybe a spirit took their dog out.
Yeah.
They weren't sure. But they did pack up all their shit and get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, Absolutely. Yeah.
So I just found that fascinating. And if you have an open mind and go into it believing that these things can be real and that they are telling the truth, that's pretty fucking terrifying.
Both the husband and the wife heard it, right? They heard the same thing happen and thought the other person did it.
Yes, yeah. The distinct same things happen and thinking the other person did it.
I'm still going with it. The dog itself did it. It's actually possessed.
You're going with the dog.
Okay,
you're going with the dog is possessed. Yeah. I am going with somebody, a ghost spirit of a soldier, tried to train the dog to bomb sniff. It was just very confused. He's like, I don't know where I am, but I see this canine. Come on, Spot.
I know what I'm supposed to do. My job.
Well, that would make sense to me if they died there and the last thing they did was their purpose was training dogs to sniff bombs. You see a dog, you're just going to go.
It'd be comforting.
Yeah, it would be comforting. You would be like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do if you have no awareness that you're dead or even if you're just searching for some sort of purpose.
Yep.
So I'm going with trying to train a dog to sniff bombs. And it's probably what kind of dog was it? Did they say?
Didn't I don't think the story said.
Imagine it being a Chihuahua and that fucking dude is just confused as shit. He's like, this doesn't look like the normal bomb sniffing dogs that they give me.
It's not a German Shepherd.
It just keeps on yipping. Like I can imagine like it being a pit bull like my dumbass dogs and it's just like what's going on and just try to guide it being like this is how you sniff a bomb and it's just like just be like you want to play because I like my dogs outside of the most basic things of teaching them how to sit. And yeah, that's basically they know how to open doors. That's the one thing about my dogs that are like more intelligent than your average dog is they know how to jump up and hit the doorknob and let themselves in.
That's either a really good quality or a really bad quality.
It's split. Sometimes it's great, and then sometimes I'm just like middle of the night, if I forget to lock a door and I'm wandering around, I hear the door open and I'm just like, motherfucker. And it's only Luna that knows how to do it. Jackie just kind of stares dumbly. Now, Jackie knows how to use her head as a battering ram to let herself back in, but opening doors, not so much.
Oh, I like your dog's names. Yeah. Those are good dog names.
Thank you. I love them to death, but they're not the brightest creatures in the world.
We all make concessions for those we love.
Exactly. So basically how we're going to close off the episode is we're going to have an interview that we conducted earlier with a psychic medium. They were great, and I suggest visiting their site. They do Zoom parties and readings, and on Mondays they do a happy hour where they do a discounted rate for readings.
That's cool.
So,
and she gives out free tickets.
Yes,
that too,
yes,
right?
That too.
Yeah.
And basically, just stay tuned. We would love to have her back, and we're going to work that out sooner or later. And her site will be in the show notes, and we will link it on our main site and in the podcast. The podcast notes that will be distributed everywhere.
What was her name?
Johanna K.
Cool. All
right. Yeah.
She was really cool.
Yeah, she was really cool.
I like her a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And very insightful. Very insightful, especially David's questions. It was very insightful. And
I'm excited to talk to her again.
Yeah. Yeah. Me as well. And Andy, we hope you are there for the next one.
I hope so.
If you come,
that'd be cool.
If you come back from your cabin, if you are not shot, if you're not shot by some forest wood dweller trying to dispense sage advice about the astral realm and they don't burn you at the stake.
That or Jamie will go feral and I just have to stay out there to, you know, keep her safe. Yeah. Or something. Yeah. You know, any number of options here. Yeah.
But we're going to play that and be back with just some closing things. The usual spiel. Maybe they'll jump in. But my name's Huntley. That's my co-host David. Caitlin is a host too. Andy couldn't be with us because a real life job. So unfortunately he was bummed out that he could not be a part.
I think Jamie might join in.
That's fine.
They're trying to get stuff set up.
They can hop in whenever. So how do you say your name?
Jonna.
Jonna.
Like Donna with a J.
Gotcha. I thought so. I'm Southern, so when I pronounce things how I see them, and I would probably mangle it if I tried to do it on my own. our education system isn't so hot down here.
Not so much.
Not so much. Not so much. Plus, I'll be honest, usually when I do this show, I partake in the marijuana. So
that's okay. Whatever it takes to get you through the day.
Yeah.
Well, isn't Tennessee's slogan the best roads to the worst schools? Something like that.
not only that, but like my home state is Alabama, so I double whammy.
Are you in Tennessee?
I'm in Tennessee right now. Yes.
I was just down by Dixon a month and a half ago or so.
Oh.
And I have never met so many people uninterested in getting readings.
Yeah, you know, no, it's like completely, they will not tell people in public, but they are very, very interested in readings.
They acted like I was some sort of like mutant something. Like I scared the shit out of them, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that regularly myself. Like they'll see me because I have such an interest in occult things, and I'll be out at a bookstore or a coffee shop and they'll be like, "What you reading?" I'll be like, "I'm reading Aleister Crowley." And they'll just be like,
yeah, isn't it the Ozzy Osbourne song?
Yeah, the Ozzy. And funny enough, like when people are like, "Who is that?" I'll just be like, "Ozzy Osbourne wrote a song about him. Google it."
Exactly.
But let's not talk about it anymore because then you're going to try to witness me, and then it's going to get weird. It's going to get really weird real fast.
You know, I went down to like Owensboro, Kentucky, and I was really busy down there and did a lot of business there. Yeah. But Tennessee was just weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Dixon is a strange place. I'm more of the city Southerner of like I'm from Nashville, lived most of my life in Nashville.
Okay.
So we're fairly more tolerant and liberal, honestly. So I identify with that more, but I know Dixon very well. I have a friend out there that left from Nashville to there, and even when I went to see them, I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
It was interesting. I was in a little town outside of Dixon. I can't remember the name, but Dixon is the, like, right around the corner.
Was it Centerville?
No.
Okay. Okay. That.
No. That Highway 100 ran through it, though.
Highway 100. Fairview?
Nope.
There's so many little towns there that not even I know them all, but I know the area. And I know
I will tell you. We went shopping at Gimme a Five, and that was a lot of fun.
I gotcha. Yeah, the little $5 shop.
Yeah, with all the Amazon returns.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those stores popping up.
Yeah. We have Dollar General. Like, the rural counties have, like, $3 Generals per, like, 500 person capita. It's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go into a long-winded rant about how they serve like terrible food, like nuke food that's causes food deserts and all that, but I will try not to go political.
We can go political. I'll talk political with you. I don't care.
I'll probably edit it out of the podcast because I try to make it non-political. But it's like people wonder why the South is in such poor health. And it's because of stuff like that. And it's purposely designed.
Well, and yeah, absolutely. I believe that. I was just on the podcast the other day and they were talking about soul food was just the leftover junk. Mm-hmm. You know, like the crap.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it wasn't designed for health by any means.
No. Yeah, it's soul food just because, you know, the slaves in the South did not have. They got just like the fat, the leftover. So they had to make do. And that just got passed generationally. And once again, it's just like, and then of course, white people appropriated it because we have really no culture for ourselves. Sorry, but we don't.
Right.
And it's just like, true. Like now you have that and just like terrible food that's just full of sugar and preservatives that are sold cheaply. There's like no healthy food unless you're in urban areas, and even then you have to be in the wealthy urban area.
I live in a farm town and our grocery store does not sell good produce.
Yeah,
I know. Like
that's crazy.
Oh, hi Caitlin.
Hi, I'm excited to
hey what's
here.
Up
hi. I had problems getting in, as per usual.
It's okay. I've just been going on semi-political rants.
Fun.
Yeah.
I've been here for like 3 minutes.
Oh, so you're just listening to me, Yammer?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess now that you're here, let's just get into the nitty-gritty. So, I'm curious. Like, how did you get into your field of work?
So, I have always been fascinated with anything mystical since I was a kid. When I was about 18 or 19, I went to get my first reading from a reader. And I was fascinated and hooked, and I'd go all the time. Mm-hmm. What happened was when I was 30, I lost a child. Mm-hmm. And went through a really dark, dark time. And when I came out of that time, I started going to readers again. And they were like, you're wide open. You should try doing readings. Mm-hmm. And in the process through my 20s, I had played around with tarot cards, but they didn't make much sense. Mm-hmm. I went through a big spiritual awakening during coming out of the grief. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual awakening opened me up. And I was just starting to like be able to pull things for people without even trying. And it just opened up. And the business person in me was like, I know where this can go.
Yeah.
So I made it into a regular business. So I have brick and mortar office. I have done this for 20 years professionally. The IRS knows what I do for a living.
Gotcha. So it's official.
Oh, yeah.
Once the government knows, it's official.
For the last 20 years, they've known.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, when you find out that your mileage write-off can do a lot for you, you make it official.
Yeah. Yeah. No. my real job is I operate a print shop. So anything I can write off, yes. I write off.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, tarot, do you do any other divination outside of tarot?
I mean, I am a medium, so I connect your loved ones from beyond. And I connect your chakras right away in a reading. So, and I have probably about 30 or 40 just oracle decks that I play with at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
When you connect to loved ones, when did that manifest? Like, when were you able to start doing that?
The spiritual awakening at the grieving process. 31, 32. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I was a hairdresser too. And as a hairdresser, when I'd shampoo people, I could feel energy from them, like as an empath. So I've always had that empath kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I find that people that are more prone to divination, whether it be tarot, like even before this, their abilities manifest, they are usually very like empaths. They can feel the energy around them. They can feel just like, and like I do tarot, but I don't do it for other people, just friends, not business wise, but it's never really been my gift, so to speak. And I feel like that is because, like, compared to my wife, who also practices tarot, but has more of a lock with how people feel and has more, is more empathetic than I am, if I'm being blunt. She's more gifted at it because of that. And while, like, my gifts are in other different realms of more, how do I put it, in the esoteric practices, like, I appreciate that, but I find that that is a common thread with people that do that. So you connect people with loved ones.
I do.
How do people respond to that?
I mean, usually people come to me because they've lost somebody. They know that that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So I end up, you know, I have appointments every day. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of times because people just know what I do and they know I'm the person to come to. So, I mean, 20 years ago, I started with doing psychic parties.
Oh, gotcha.
So I would run around from Madison, Wisconsin to Rockford, Illinois, doing psychic parties.
Gotcha.
And I would just do as many as I could, and I did psychic fairs, and so a lot of people just found out about me locally, for sure.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And I imagine, like, and I mean no offense to this, but it has to be draining, like, to a certain degree. Do you find that?
If you do it right, not so much.
Not so much. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to do like a 4-hour party. I like to keep them at 2-3 hours. Gotcha. Yeah. But a 4 or 5 hour party, I'm done. Like, I'm a bitch the rest of the day. Like, don't ask me to get you a glass of water. Cause I'll tell you to get your own.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you know your boundaries, it doesn't have to be draining.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. And can I ask you about some of your clients' experiences? You don't have to reveal names or anything like that, but, like, would you say most of them are positive?
Oh, yes. Absolutely, or I wouldn't have a business.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I rarely have a negative situation. I had to kick a Russian lady out once who was telling me she was trying to kill her husband. And she wanted to know if she was.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, that kind of shit I kick out of my office.
No. I mean,
like, can you tell me when he's going to die? What if I did this? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
And was that the entire purpose of why she came to you? She was just like, when is he going to kick it?
Yeah, because they were in a custody fight.
Oh, my God. I mean,
no,
that makes it even worse to me is, like, I have children, too, and I'm in a very loving relationship with my wife. But even if the worst was to happen between us, I would never once wish death because she is the mother of my children.
That's 1/100th of a percent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I do 20 to 50 readings a week, depending, you know, on if I'm doing parties or whatever, but I rarely get people like that.
Good.
Yeah. And when I do, I'm like, we're done here. You've got to go.
Yeah. Just 86, not wasting my time. I don't blame you. When people come to you for the Russian woman doing that, like, have you ever had people try to reach out to you to contact something that was not a loved one?
Oh, yeah. When I first started this business, and I mean, you kind of get into the ghost hunting and you do all that weird shit. And yeah. I don't mess with that anymore. Like, gotcha. I only work with what's in the light, what's in God's arm.
Gotcha.
But I have had some weird experiences with paranormal rather than spiritual. And I just don't play with it. Like, people will call me and say, can you come and tell me what's in my house? And I'm like, I will bring you some sage and teach you how to sage your house. Yeah. But if you have something in your house, it shouldn't be there.
No, I agree. I will just give a brief thing that happened to my family. Was we went to, it was just kind of a fluke, but we had a haunting in our house from the previous owner, who our lovely real estate agent didn't tell us was dead in it for 3 days.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's gone, but we noticed things were getting very weird around the house. We got a leak that escalated, ruined our floor, and we're just like, didn't think anything of it. It latched onto my wife because empath.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically went to one of our favorite, you know, witchy stores. And the employee, the owner, was just like, something's on you. And my wife was just like, I've been seeing stuff when I've been doing tarot. And long story short, we had to, you know, get it to cross over. And on its way of crossing over, that leak, it completely burst our pipe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was an intense situation. I saw things. And as I said, it's like when I tell normal people this story, they're just like, they either look at me like I'm crazy or they're spooked out by it. And it didn't spook me out because I believe in this sort of thing.
Right. Right. A lot of times too, when you get an attachment like that, it can change your behavior really drastically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was sleeping so much that I thought she was pregnant again, because when she was pregnant, she would sleep all the time.
So she was astral traveling.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was astral traveling and picking up more crap and bringing it through. She became a pool, basically.
Yeah. And we haven't had any issues. I have, you know, protected the house with all sorts of different barriers.
And as long as you continue to do that, you will be fine. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get lazy.
No. I try to do it every couple of months, especially if I'm practicing my own stuff. And usually that involves spirit boards and stuff like that. So I try to keep anything negative out as I can with black salt around the perimeter of our property. I do have to ask on some of the paranormal stuff that you've partaked in. Were most of them, they were believers, clearly, if they were ghost hunting. But did they experience anything outside of you? Or did they just come in with the little readers and the spirit boxes and stuff like that?
You know, my ghost hunting stuff was like 2000, 2001, 2003, you know, back then.
Yeah.
So there's a lot less equipment available. I gotcha.
Makes sense.
Right. So, I mean, EVP stuff people were using, we were taking pictures. We went to like Ohio at the prison there in Mansfield. It experienced a lot of things, but it didn't feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, it's not right. You know what I mean? For me, it didn't resonate with who I was.
Gotcha. I gotcha. No, that's fair. That is completely fair. We actually did a ghost hunting thing for like our Halloween special. But most of the time, that's very outside of our realm. It was just like, it's Halloween. Let's just do something goofy.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate people that do it. I wish I would see more, you know, psychic and mediums involved in it, because I take their word, as horrible as it sounds, I take their word over it. And then the guy that watched too many horror movies, it was just like, I'm going to go buy all these readers from Amazon, Spirit Box, have at it. And I'm sure they do experience something, but I don't think they experience on the same level as somebody like you, or maybe even to a certain extent, somebody like me who opens these doors.
I feel like you have to fight the lower levels to get to the higher energy.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And lower level energy is easy to get to, and it's hard to protect from.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't screw around with it anymore. I tell it to go away. I don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Because of that. Because it's really hard to go into, say, an old house and connect to lower level energies, and then the next day try to do a high level reading.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of you're arguing with yourself. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Yeah. And I don't like that feeling of the lower level energies knowing you're open. They know they can attach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want attachments.
No.
Right.
No.
No, people become very addicted to their attachments, too. Yes. And they love their attachments. They don't want to release them.
No, they don't. And then you can get into some really serious stuff with that, especially without understanding, in my opinion. When you're messing around with stuff and you just think it's just all for shits and giggles. And next thing you know, you're feeling lethargic or your mood is starting to shift. And people are just like, oh, they're in a bad mood. No, yeah. There's a reason why they're in a bad mood. They're being psychically drained, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then you're open to get things like MS and leukemia and everything else because you have no barriers around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to tell people personally that are interested in, you know, whatever we want to call it, that I'm just like, ground yourself.
Yes.
Be happy. Be hydrate, rest. Don't go into these things with a negative mindset.
Yeah, grounding is so important. And people laugh at me because I ground all the time. I've probably grounded 5-6 times during this conversation already.
Mm-hmm.
I ground every time I use the bathroom. I ground all the time. Because it's so important to remind yourself to stay grounded and to release any negative shit that comes through. Mm-hmm. Sorry, is this like a swearing podcast or not?
God, yes.
Yeah,
God, yes.
Absolutely.
I have a problem with
swearing. No, you know, you are completely fine. I put every episode as explicit because somewhere I'm going to probably say fuck 10 times.
I'm a really spiritual person, but I do swear a lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just helps me release whatever is in my throat chakra.
That actually leads up into my follow-up question. What would you recommend to our listeners how to ground?
Oh, so grounding. So here's the problem with empaths is they tend to be overweight because food tends to ground you.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times you just reach out for food because you need grounding.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is protein is a grounder, if that's what helps you. I have a big, rock here in my living room that sometimes I'll put my feet on while I'm watching TV. It's a piece of petrified wood, but you can use any river rock by your bed when you say your prayers at night, whatever. Otherwise I use the anchor method, which is like thinking about an anchor going straight through your head, down through your body, deep into the ground and twisting down so that you stay anchored, but you can be flexible.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So that anchoring method I use all the time. It takes about 3 seconds and you just anchor yourself into the ground.
Nice.
Yeah. But there's many ways to ground yourself. I mean, food can be a little dangerous. That's all I'm saying. So if you're going to anchor and ground with food, try to just have a little bit of protein and see how that works. Don't eat like 5 donuts because you're never going to feel anchored and you're just going to feel sick.
No, there's such thing as way too much sugar. Especially like, once again, empaths, I find that they seek comfort in different ways. And unfortunately, food is a comfort for a lot of people.
Oh, it grounds you. It makes you feel better. Right.
And people don't even think about it in that grounding sense. It's just like this is comfort.
No, and what I realized when I was doing psychic fairs like 20 years ago is we'd all go out for steak afterwards. And all of us wanted steak. And I'm like, this is interesting. We all want prime rib. We all want like big pieces of meat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because we've all been up in the air for hours reading for people. And we needed to get that like energy going of just being grounded in our own energy.
So it's almost like physical I would think it's physical exercise personally, but I'm talking as somebody that's kind of would be unaware of these things. But it's like physical exercise. Like if you are weightlifting daily, you need that protein.
Yeah, I just think that, I mean, when you do psychic fairs, you start at 10 in the morning and you go till 6 at night and you don't stop. You have one person after the other. It's hard to find time to pee during those psychic fairs. Mm-hmm. Like, it gets pretty intense. And by the time you're done, you don't know your energy from somebody else's. It's really hard to ground in between every single reading. Mm-hmm. And, so, yeah, when you're done, a big piece of steak is a nice thing, I'll tell you. Even when I do groups now, because what I do now is I do audience events. So before COVID, I was traveling around doing audience events. And after an audience event, we would always go out to eat and just sit and relax. You know, because after all that energy and all the people wanting something from you, you just need to like have your wine, have your steak, and relax a minute. So.
No. I mean, anything that you're exerting yourself, whether physically or mentally or in just like a different plane of reality, you need fuel.
Yeah.
You need fuel.
Yeah. And it grounds you.
Yeah.
So can we talk about that a minute about my audience events?
Yes, absolutely, because I don't want this to go over that, so I want you to plug as much stuff as you can.
So I was traveling. I live up in Wisconsin. So I was traveling from Door County to Minneapolis doing audience events, and 50 to 100 people in an audience. And then COVID hit. And now I am doing Zoom type events. So sometimes I use Google Meet, sometimes I use Zoom. It just depends. So tomorrow night on my Facebook page, which is Psychic Readings by John of the Happy Medium, I am doing happy hour where I give free tickets away for the event on Thursday, which is the event where I bring loved ones through from the other side. So that happens on Thursday, and it's $10 a ticket if you want to just purchase your ticket.
Okay, perfect.
Super cheap.
I will definitely add that. I'll probably edit this and drop the episode probably around midnight tonight. So hopefully you might get a boost from that. If not, I will add your website and any event that you have future in the week, let me know. And I'll post that on our website too.
Thank you. Yeah, I just started doing these Monday night happy hours where I give away some free tickets for the show. And then later on in the week, I have a show. So, and it's all Zoom now, keeping people safe, doing different kind of business. It's what we're doing. And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. COVID has really shifted just everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's taken a lot out of a lot of businesses, but I also feel like if you're working in a higher power and if you're working with energy, you're going to figure out how to do your business a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we're all shifting.
David, do you have any questions? Because I feel like I've basically just hijacked everything. I'm sorry. I tend to talk a lot.
I mean, we all tend to go on our own rambles whenever, like, the opportunity presents itself. I do have a couple questions. They're mostly related to, like, the actual practice that you do. I guess, like, the broader question that I'm interested in is what's your overall take on the spirit world, like whatever that is? Like, are there any particular religions or mythologies or versions of spirituality that you think best align with the things that you experience?
I mean, I believe that religion is a way to control people with their relationship to God, and that being spiritual is just having a relationship with God. Right. So I don't need to like have a religion to give me rules on how to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
So I've never defined myself in any way of witchy stuff or anything like that. I don't peg myself into any of it. But I do love the spiritualists. I mean, are you familiar with spiritualists?
Not specifically.
Okay. Are you from Tennessee also?
More or less. I've spent most of my life in Tennessee.
Okay. In the 1800s, spiritualist church popped up all over, and they were like churches that believed in the afterlife, but they also believed in the Bible and angels and all, you know, like they'd have service and then they bring messages through from the other side. So it was just really cool. But these were also the churches that believed in Ouija boards and table tipping. And if you do a deep dive on The Exorcist, you'll find out that that was really about a boy whose aunt was a spiritualist who died. And he tried to connect to her with lower level vibration and got an attachment. So, you know, that's the true story behind The Exorcist. And it's connected to spiritualism. Spiritualism made a big comeback in the 1940s, 30s and 40s. And that's when you saw table tipping and some of the crazy kind of stuff that they did. In the 60s, again, it kind of made a big comeback with the hippies, 60s and 70s, because most spiritualist churches were out in the woods, like with these other little cabins that you can live in and give readings. And so they're a big deal in the 60s and 70s. And now they just kind of exist with other churches. They just are what they are. I was in Florida a couple years ago and I went to Casadega, which is a big spiritualist community, where you can just walk around. They're like little towns. They have everything and everything you would need. And it's just a lot of fun to go to. The most famous one, I think, is Lilydale in New York. If you've ever heard of that. Okay. So, I mean, if I had to align with anything, that would be where I align with. But I also think I don't have to prove my relationship to God or have any kind of spiritual proof or rules.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I'm like in the same camp, really. Like whatever spirituality you practice is like it's a very personal thing. And it's just, if it brings you enrichment or, you know, whatever grounding, then do your thing. It doesn't really matter what label.
Yeah. I'm respectful of everybody's beliefs until they start trying to preach to me. And then, you know, that comes with being in the South with hardcore fundamentalist Christians that look at anything. That even if you have like a metal band t-shirt on, they just like, I'm gonna talk to you. Have you heard the good news? And I'm like,
That reminds me. When I was in high school, I was wearing a Tool hoodie at the grocery store, and this old lady walked up to me and said, "It's a good thing to be a tool of the Lord." I'm just like, you don't know who Tool is, do you? Like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, it was. I was just. I tried not to laugh on the spot.
It's like that is a problem that, you know, you get in the South. I've lived out West and it's just like never encountered any of those issues. And I've asked my wife, who's from California, and she's like, no, that the only time I started getting witnessed was when we lived out here.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, we don't get a lot of that. And when I have gotten it, when people find out what I do for a living, okay. You know, then yeah. they're,
Then they do it, but they're not brazen enough that, like, when you wear a t-shirt like Tool, they might be. I don't know.
My t-shirts are like Cheap Trick and REO Speedwagon. I'm a girl from the 70s.
That fair enough.
Yeah, I still wear that shit. Like.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Very good. Yeah, I got a couple more.
All right.
Are there any particular like objects or materials that you use with your readings?
Well, before COVID, I did psychometry, which meant I would hold an object from your loved one who passed over. Especially at my shows, my audience events, I really encouraged people to bring objects. Mm-hmm. And when they'd come up on stage with me, I'd hold the object. Some people brought the craziest things. They'd bring like a lamp or a brick from grandpa's garage that he built, like, you know, just kind of fun things. So it was always fun to see what people would bring on stage with me.
Yeah.
Because when I'm on stage and I have 50 people in the audience and I bring somebody up front, it's so much easier to touch that object and get direct vibrations from the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then the last one is, do you get any like sensations with your five senses when you do these kind of communings, like smell, taste, anything?
100%. Yeah. As I tune into your chakras, I can actually feel like something physically going on with you. Sometimes I felt toothaches and headaches and things like that. There's times where I can taste food, smell smoke. So many different things happen during a reading. Everything is working. Everything. Like you hear, mm-hmm. see, you feel, but you see the way. So the only way to describe how I see, and you guys are kind of young for this, but you know who the Brady Bunch is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you see when I say Brady Bunch in your mind's eye?
Oh, yeah. Like the nine squares of all the family members.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I see.
Okay. So
you see what I'm saying? Like the minute I say the Brady Bunch, you visualize those nine squares, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I see in a reading. I will see something in my mind's eye that will just flash through. It doesn't last very long. And it'll make me say certain things.
Yeah. But interesting.
Exactly. You saw the nine squares in your head. That was your visual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, people are like, is my dad standing next to me? And I'm like, well, he's kind of in my head. So.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that works.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's I've never had it broken down that way before. But saying it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. Everybody thinks it's like apparition, just like.
No.
They think it's like the movies.
No. And when I hear, I had it explained to me once how to hear. And I actually, what is that noise?
What is that noise? I hear it too.
It sounded like a phone alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really faint.
So I think it was coming from my house. It's coming from within my house.
Okay.
What is it?
It sounds like one. It sounds like a cell phone.
Like a weather alert.
It sounds like a weather alert, or like
it's my husband's phone.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Sorry about that. I'm just like, oh my god.
You're good.
So when I literally hear during a reading, and it's funny we heard that while I was talking about hearing. I was explained to once that it's like hearing the song in your head that gets stuck. So that's how I get names. and I will hear like Agnes or, you know, Joan or mm-hmm. things like that, like in the same place that you would hear the song in your head, not in your ears.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's interesting. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you expect to hear like voices, but you're not. You're just hearing your own mind sing the song in your head, but it's telling you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It's a fun thing to play with if you're learning any kind of psychic stuff. Like, you know, when I teach classes, I teach people to like let the song go in your head and then stop and ask for a name and see what comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get used to listening to that voice.
Yeah. Very cool.
How long did it take you to develop that method to like be able to like tune into it?
I developed really quickly, but I think it was always there. I just learned how to tap into it.
I gotcha. Yeah, that would be my assumption, too, that you've always had this gift.
Didn't know it.
Yeah, didn't know it, and then it manifested itself.
Yeah, there's nothing dramatic. Like, I didn't see dead people as a kid. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know I had this ability.
I gotcha.
And then when I found out I had this ability, I was already in business for myself. I had a little shop. And so the business part of me was like, oh, I know how to do this now. Like, I can take this and use my business skills and my talent
mm-hmm.
and go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have to ask, you said you were a hairdresser before.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an overlap? I assume that you had a client list mm-hmm. and... every hairdresser I've been to, even the people that cut my hair, and I get the most basic haircuts. you know, they talk. And right. That's part of the good thing about a hairdresser or stylist, whatever you want to call it, is the conversation. So you were more inclined because you already had that.
100%. I could talk to anybody because I was a hairdresser. I was a bartender. So I was able to just talk to anybody no matter what. But as a hairdresser in the 80s, when I was doing hair, we shampooed everybody. Whether you said you washed your hair that morning, we still shampooed you. That was like, especially men, like men would come in and we always shampooed men. And, you know, when I would put the water on your head and do the massage for the shampooing, that's when I really felt like their emotions and their energy about what was happening mm-hmm. in their life at that point. So once I sat them up, and I would feel pain too. I would feel somebody's backache or different things going mm-hmm. on. And I'd sit them up and put the towel around their head and they'd say, I felt so shitty until I came in here and you just did that and now it's gone. And then I would literally take it on like an attachment. So I didn't know how to ground myself and release that energy at that point.
Hmm.
Which is why a lot of hairdressers yeah. will quit doing hair.
I can see that. I can see that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, you feel shitty. You just feel like crap when you're taking everybody's stuff on.
Yeah, see, like, that would be my wife of when she takes on that stuff. I mean, love her to death. She's a better person than me, 100%. but, like, me personally, I couldn't do it. Props to you for doing it. Like, even hairdressing, I come from before I did this business, I came from the hospitality world myself, of like, managing, bartending, and just like even that, even when like I would stumble upon the drunk person that wanted to tell me their life story, I was just like, please stop, please. I don't know how to help you. I'm sorry, but I don't know how to help you.
So the bar between us was a grounding tool for me
mm-hmm.
because I started as a cocktail waitress at 18 years old in 1982. Mm-hmm. So yeah, do that math. It's 56. So, but when I was a cocktail waitress, I didn't like having people behind me and moving around between people. So when they said, we're going to put you behind the bar, I was like immediately more comfortable because that big piece of wood, that, you know, earth energy right there between me and the person, was a way for me not to feel every single thing from them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, that makes sense. Mm. That makes sense. Hmm. So we are almost at 50 minutes. I want you to plug your website and any other events. You do these every Monday, right?
Every Monday I have happy hour, is like a Zoom thing where people can come in and I'll pull cards and we'll play. Okay. And I give free tickets away for the Thursday show, which is the $10 a ticket show, which is like a Zoom thing where I bring people through from the other side. So it's basically my audience event with virtual audience.
Awesome. So what I will do is put your website in the show notes.
And mediumjonnak.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then this all happens on my Facebook page.
Yeah. And cool. I'll post that too on our website. And what I'll probably do, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but our biggest audience that draws the most people to our podcast is actually TikTok.
Oh, fun.
We post like clips from the show on TikTok. And so basically what I'm going to do is put your website on there, make a small little video. And see if that drives some traffic to you.
Awesome. I haven't done much with TikTok.
I didn't until we started the podcast. And then I was just like, it's such an untapped market in a lot of things. And I was surprised that it drove as much listeners as it did. And when it started doing that, I was like, I'm just going to use TikTok as our primary.
Yeah, I got to play with it a little bit more.
Yeah, check it out.
If you want me to come on at some point and do a Zoom group on your podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
You get the Zoom group together and I'll do readings.
Absolutely. Because I know Andy is going to be kicking himself that he missed this.
Yeah. For now that we've done kind of the background and the introduction, you want to put together a group of people and have me come back and prove what I can do, I would be more than happy.
100%. We will try to get that together. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. This has been fun.
Thank you. We had a blast.
This is awesome. I appreciate you guys. I'm sure I'll be back in Tennessee at some point. So maybe
let us know.
When COVID is not happening, I will plan an event in Nashville and do an audience event.
Let us know. Especially if you get that going in Nashville. I know lots of people in Nashville. I will talk everybody's ear off like I've done today.
How fun. Very exciting. Okay. It was so nice to meet all you guys.
It's nice to meet you as well.
Yes. Yeah, good to meet you too.
Yeah. And thank you.
We will be in touch.
We'll talk again.
Yes.
Awesome. Right. Peace out.
Have a great
one. All right.
All right, everybody, that's our show. If you like what you hear, you can find us on every podcast platform of choice. We're on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, even Pandora now. So give us some subscriptions, good reviews, helps people find the show, and have a good night.